We've got the case that we transported Osrock 2 in. There's not particularly too much here at this stage, but this place was a hive of activity the last two, three, 4 days or so. What else can I say? Back behind us, we have a room here we dedicated to the telemetry and electronics side of things. We basically have some chaps there checking out the video camera at the moment. So what we might do is just wander through and hopefully they'll be able to fill us in further detail what they've been doing there.
It's mounted, well, it's actually a hatch. It's mounted on the side of the rocket and it'll view along the rocket looking rearward. So it'll hopefully see the ground sink away as the rocket lifts off. The camera's, that's the head of the camera, it's very small, and the electronics of the camera is in a custom milled box, and it goes off to the transmitter, which is in that box, and there's an RF amplifier module in the other box there, which puts out about 10 watts.
Is that the original camera that's going to go in, or this is another one?
This is another camera, actually.
The other one's all set up, ready to go.
Sorry?
The other one's set up.
Oh, there's only one camera in the rocket.
This is the fly camera.
Yes, indeed. There was originally another one from Philips, which was a black and white one. But thankfully, they had from Hadland Photonic in Melbourne, they donated another one, which is colour. The original one was black and white.
It's be similar to Rock Cam.
yeah. apparently, it's the company that makes the cameras that are used in the racing cars. And they also use this brand in the space shuttle as well, apparently. Yeah. So I'm very grateful to them.
See the picture from next door.
It's an amateur TV transmitter which is made by a student at Monash, and it's working fine. The video goes on the video channel, and the audio, it doesn't actually transmit sound, it transmits the telemetry in the sound channel. So it's modulated and sent down at about 4800 baud, well, at 4800 baud. And it's recorded on just everyday VCRs. Yeah. Which is nice and convenient. Before too long, early this afternoon. Yeah, this afternoon. Yeah.
Just take it off. How many G is the subject of the rocket?
Well, about 3 or 3.5 G at launch, and it goes up to about 5 when the engine cuts out. But we're not sure what the vibration will be like, but bound to be subjected to a lot of vibration.
The circuits on that board there, are they rated to any particular G?
Oh, I'm not sure what the manufacturer says about the camera.
Do you know that they will in fact withstand 3.5 G, or is that problematic?
Oh, I think 3.5 G would be all right to it, but that's just off the top of my head.
People with the vibration, that'd be worried about.
We have to pay probably 10 times as much for fully rocket qualified components, and we can't afford to do that, so we've done the best we can to mount and fully check out and screen commercial components that should do the job.
Size is a D cell, but their performance is far superior. They're lithium manganese, I think they are, with a 10 amp hour rating, and they actually cost about $50 each, which is obviously substantially more than your everyday D cell, and they're a lot lighter. Well, they're quite light.
What are we looking at?
The battery pack.
For
the rocket. it powers all the onboard electronics and the camera and the flight, and give us some data to say how well it does. The main instruments are three accelerometers, which are mounted on a block there with orthogonal axes. And the primary one is along the axis of the rocket, and that'll measure the thrust and the drag on the rocket during the flight. Some electronics there to signal condition the accelerometers, and there's circuitry there to convert the analog values to digital values, and it generates a telemetry that goes down on the sound channel of the TV transmitter. That die-cast box there is what holds the batteries. That board on the front there is for driving the pyrotechnics. For the deployment system, for the deployment of the recovery system, which involves a drogue chute and then a main chute. So there's a...
How does the parachute know when to come out?
It has a pressure sensor on board, well, a couple of pressure sensors in a pitot-static probe on the front of the rocket. And when it passes apogee, pressure decreases as it rises, and then when it starts to fall again, the pressure increases.
and it'll look for the decrease in pressure after apogee, and within 2 or 3 seconds after apogee it'll blow the drogue, which involves firing 3 pins in the nose cone and firing a pusher rod to push the nose cone off axis, and then the aerodynamic forces throw the nose cone off, and the drogue trails out on a line, and the rocket does a massive flip, swings around 180 degrees, and the drogue comes out. This is all assuming it all goes to plan. Yeah, well, I wasn't really involved with OSROC 1, but it is, yeah. It's a two-stage recovery system. There's a drogue, which is about 1 metre diameter, and apparently it's rated for supersonic deployment, although in this case it'll only be about 0.8 Mach at which it deploys. And that slows the rocket down from about 800 kilometres an hour to about 300 kilometres an hour. And by that stage, the rocket's descending vertically, pretty much. And then there's another pressure sensor inside the payload that determines when it's below about 3,000 metres altitude. And then that fires cutters, which release the main chute, which has a 24-foot diameter. And then it should touch down reasonably gently, assuming all goes to plan.
How long will it take to
float back?
It's, well, from liftoff, the engine will cut out after about 24 seconds. Then it coasts up to apogee, which takes about 55 seconds from launch. And that's at about 11.5 kilometres. This is all assuming it's nominal. Yeah, and then the drogue blows after about 2 seconds after that, and then the main chute, I think it's about 50 seconds after that. If the deployment didn't work, then it's about 107 seconds from launch that it would impact, and about 25 kilometres downrange, and did it about 25 kilometres downrange, and did it hit at about Mach 1.
So will anybody be out there?
No, no. Yeah, yeah, we'll be, well, most people will be watching from the top of the IB, I think, and the radar will be tracking it, so they have big charts, so they can see the actual trajectory during the flight, so they know how it's going real time.